ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch?
Joining us for a look this week at films and screens big and small, Wenli Ma. Wenli, good evening to you. Welcome back.
Good evening.
Well, Christmas time. Yes, on Christmas movies, I suppose that means. Hey, before we talk about Christmas movies, can we talk about Russell Crowe's new thing called Nuremberg? Now, this is a film about Hermann Göring, one of the most unpleasant and unpalatable Nazi leaders. Yeah, were there any palatable Nazis?
Leaders? Probably not. Probably not.
But this, he's had to stack on. Is he wearing a fat suit in this, or is he just stacked on weight?
Oh, look, I think Russell Crowe has entered his Santa Claus era, and he did that a few years ago. So I'm not sure that there is a fat suit in this. But he is. I actually found his performance very, very effective, because I think the thing about Göring and lots of unpleasant leaders of various stripes throughout history is that they can be incredibly charming if they need to be. And Russell Crowe plays this very, I'm going to call it like an insouciant arrogance to Göring, that you do understand how he can become enthralling and magnetic to people in his presence when he chooses to turn it on. And his main sparring partner is a character played by Rami Malek, who was real-life American psychiatrist who was in the army. He was in his 30s, and he was recruited onto the team in the prison right where they held everyone before the Nuremberg trials to, you know, really kind of get a sense of who are these people.
So what's the setup here? So it's Göring is at Nuremberg. He's on trial for his crimes, of course. Well, we won't do a plot spoiler. We kind of know what happens. We know what happens here. Exactly. So this is the U.S. psychiatrist examining Göring.
Examining Göring. So there are there's two kind of parallel storylines. So there's that one, and then there's just the establishment of the court itself, because it was unprecedented. There were no international courts before this. No one knew how to really prosecute someone outside of their national jurisdiction, and the U.S., USSR, U.K. and France had to kind of come together and set the template of what we kind of still do today. So there's that story. But this psychiatrist Göring story, there's a lot of these chats and interrogations that, at least to me, gave something of the feeling of that Clarice Starling, Hannibal Lecter, you know, the back and forth of one person is kind of interested in the nature of evil but find themselves both sort of magnetized and repelled by the other person. And, you know, he was given this idea of, like, can you find something in amongst these Germans that make them different from the rest of us? And really what he found out and what we all know to be true is that it is universal among humans, no matter where you're from, that there is just this dark side that we can't really alienate as other, because otherwise we'd be denying essential elements of, you know, the spectrum of humanity. I think the movie is too long. I think the pacing is a bit off.
How long is it? 2.5 hours?
It's 2.5 or maybe just a tick over. But I was quite impressed by the performances, including Rusty's. I thought he was very good as Göring. And I really...
Well, he's a very fine actor, Russell
Crowe. He's a very good actor. He's very good
at... Very, very fine actor.
Yeah, displaying like the very subtle ticks and nuances of things. He doesn't overplay things unless, you know, he's playing a priest performing an exorcism. But in something like this where he's serious, and I really liked the dynamic between him and Rami Malek, who, of course, is also an Oscar winner himself. And just watching the two of them spar was very interesting, even if I thought the movie as a whole probably was a little bit patchy.
Here's a bit from it, a clip from the trailer of Nuremberg.
Justice Jackson? They captured Hermann Göring alive.
What are they going to do with him?
You are standing inside a secret military prison. It houses what's left of the Nazi high command.
See? Hey! Never do that in my prison again.
The governments of Russia, France, Great Britain, and our United States will put these men on trial for their lives.
It can't be done. There's no international law to base the charges on.
The world needs to know what these men did. Dr. Kelly, Central Command thinks you're some kind of hotshot head shrinker. You will inspect and ensure the prisoner's mental health. The one you'll have to watch the closest is Goering.
He was appointed Hitler's successor in 1939 and is the highest ranking German military officer of all time.
He's highly intelligent.
Charming and a narcissist.
I am going to escape the hangman's noose.
Very sure of yourself.
No man has ever beaten me.
What's his accent like?
I'm not an expert on German accents, so it was convincing enough to this incredibly untrained ear.
Okay. Stars for Nuremberg?
3 stars.
3 stars, okay. All right, despite Rusty.
Because of Rusty.
Okay. Oh, I see. Right. Okay. All right. Now, holiday Christmas movies. are there any good ones?
Very few. Very few new ones. We have entered this moment of what I've and other people have probably coined the Christmas streaming movie industrial complex, where there are dozens of new ones every year. Some of them starring, you know, a second-tier actor that you once really liked in something else 20 years ago. You know, Alicia Silverstone is in one. Lacey Chabert from Party of Five has been in many. But this one...
It's called Oh, What Fun.
It's called Oh, What Fun. And this is probably
But it's not.
It's not a lot of fun.
Okay.
But it is the big starry one this year. This is the one with the A-list actors because it's the focus is Michelle Pfeiffer.
Why do they bother? Why don't they just tart up and recolorize Love Actually and just release it every year?
They do. But if you're watching Love Actually on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday, what are you going to watch on Tuesday and Thursday? Love Actually is getting a good run as well. But this one stars Michelle Pfeiffer and Felicity Jones. Jason Schwartzman is in this. Chloe Grace Moretz. So, like, proper movie stars. She plays a woman who is very, very, very into Christmas. She does everything she can for her family, including her husband, Dennis Leary. And all she wants is a bit of recognition for all of her hard work. But her 3 adult children, surprise, not very grateful, a little bit obsessed with their own problems. So she has enough, snaps, and kind of takes off. And that is the essential conflict, which is like, will mum be appreciated by December 25? Spoiler alert, I think you can figure it out.
I think you can probably guess. This is a clip from the trailer.
Why does Saint Nick get all the credit?
Moms do all the work.
Mom?
My girlfriend is a vegan.
We're eating sirloin.
The annual holiday mom contest is upon us.
The kids haven't mentioned the Zazzy contest, have they? Your kids have to submit you.
Did you tell them to submit you?
I definitely did. Okay, kids, did anyone find the elf on the shelf?
We're going to be late for the dance show. You don't want to get left behind.
Ready.
Let's go, guys. The first car already left.
Hello?
Where is Mom?
35 years of marriage, and I've never lost your mother, not once.
Mom's closed up shop. Peace out, y'all.
Yes, Elf on the Shelf. Sorry, I just had a slight...
You were triggered.
I had a slight panic attack.
It is interesting because I think there's a reason why when people talk about their favourite Christmas movies, it is still Home Alone and Elf are movies that were made 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 years ago.
Love Actually.
Not my favourite by any stretch, but that is a 20-year-old movie.
Come on. And everyone loves Love Actually.
Oh, there are many of us, at least dozens of us, who don't.
Really? How can you not love that?
There are elements of the movie I like. I like Emma Thompson. I love Emma Thompson.
What about the scene with Emma Thompson smoothing the bed?
Emma Thompson is beautiful and I love her storyline, but I feel like almost every male character in that movie, including the Joni Mitchell
soundtrack over the back of it.
And it's heartbreaking, but all the men are borderline stalkers.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
he's the Prime Minister. Come on.
Who transferred a subordinate out of his department because he couldn't keep his own feelings in check. That's workplace sexual harassment.
Come on, that's no.
But I will give shout out.
He was very gentlemanly, and he knocked.
He only jeopardized an international relationship between the US and the UK. But I do want to give a shout out to one movie that I think has come out in the last 5 years that belongs in the canon, and that is The Holdovers.
Oh yeah,
which I think is a very good Christmas movie.
All right, there you have it. Now, what have we got here? A feel-good romance, romantic comedy. Oh, well, that's good. Eternity.
Eternity is a really interesting concept, and I found myself completely curious about what it was proposing. So this is set in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is set in the afterlife, and apparently when you die, you go into like this big railroad junction with the gigantic hotel, and you first physically manifest as the age at which you were the happiest. So some people come back as like their 9-year-old self, some people come back as their 72-year-old self, but the main characters that we are following have returned in basically their 20s or their 30s because they're beautiful and, you know, photogenic. And Elizabeth Olsen plays a woman who is in her 80s or possibly early 90s when she dies, and her husband of 65 years had died just before her 1 week ago. But in the afterlife, she finds not only him, but also her first husband who died in war 67 years ago, and he's been waiting for her at this junction for 67 years. And now she has to choose between these two husbands. So the man she made a life with, had kids with, shared all these memories with, and the young, you know, sparkly love that she never got to have a life with. And they have like 5 days to pick an eternity to spend the rest of their lives together.
You have to suspend belief a bit here.
Absolutely. And I do think the fun comedy part of it is there are all the possibilities of different eternities. One eternity is Weimar Republic, 1930s Germany, but with 100% fewer Nazis. Or Paris Land, the 1960s. Or one is like, well, how about if you ever wanted to live in the Middle Ages, but without leprosy and syphilis?
In paradise, heaven, whatever you want to choose, like there is no such thing as a bad time.
Anyone? Well, you have to choose carefully if you don't want a bad time.
All right, this is a bit from the trailer. The film is called Eternity.
Hey, sweetie. I know this is a lot, but don't worry. I've been doing the research.
Oh, Larry.
What do you mean, Larry?
Yeah, well, a lot has happened in a week. You died. I died. I just been reunited with both of my dead husbands.
Exactly how I dreamt you.
And I have to pick where to spend eternity.
My client clearly has a very difficult decision to make.
I was married to her for 65 years, and I gave her children.
There's nothing more powerful than emotional blackmail, right? Good on you.
It kills me that I didn't get to have a life with you, but I thought about you every single day.
Oh. I can't fathom a scenario which is going to go worse.
I love you.
It just got worse.
This thing's worse than The Notebook, isn't it?
It's much funnier than The Notebook, but it is schmaltzy. And I do think despite its creative ambitions and the little bits of comedy here and there, the execution is lacking. Like the pacing, again, all off. They spent way too much time in certain aspects of the story and not enough on the others.
Stars? So,
2.5.
Where do you see that?
Cinemas.
And What Fun
is on Prime Video, on streaming.
On Prime. And Stars?
2.5.
2.5, okay. Pretty small, slim pickings. All right, we go and see Rusty in Nuremberg.
A mature adult drama. So mature. Few of those.
Oh, that was said with a bit of edge.
Only because, you know, please make some more mature adult dramas.
Based on the Golden Globe nominations, one battle after another is set for glory in the award season, would you think?
I think so, and I think its biggest competition is Mardi Supreme, which comes out in January in Australia. That stars Timothy Chalamet, and Hamnet, which is the Shakespeare story, which I also think is beautiful.
Okay.
So there are some really good movies in the award season race, but unfortunately a lot of them don't come out here until next year.
All righty, Wendy, terrific to talk. Thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.